Whoa, Shane McMahon driving through Undertaker through the commentary table. And I'm going to say this right now, that was the best opening segment of Monday Night Raw since the beer bath of the late 90s with Stone Cold and Vince McMahon. Welcome to the People's Podcast. We are back. We are flying high. It's me, Andy P, and John Shoes. John, say hello.
Hello?
Is that Lionel Richie?
Is it me you're looking for?
It is. Well, we are looking for you, man. We didn't see you
Yeah.
last week. In fact, no,
Been
none of
missing for
us
a
were seen
while.
last week. We were due to Easter commitments. Unfortunately, neither of us were available. But we're gonna have hopefully two shows up this week. So look out for them. But yeah, let's crack on because I mean that was obviously Shane McMahon putting Undertaker through the commentary table. What did you
Pretty
think of that?
awesome. Pretty awesome. He missed a little bit. Hit him, I call it a nice diving forearm. He got him with the forearm there. He clipped him. It
Yeah.
wasn't like Michael Cole said, he's driven his elbow through the heart of the Undertaker.
But
No,
it did the job. It did the job.
oh man, it was good.
It
That was
was
a good segment. I
the
liked it.
best segment on Raw for me.
Yeah, it had me hyped. I was ready for the match right there. I was like, bring the cage down. Let's just start it now. We already have a big spot.
Well, I didn't think that they would go that far on Raw. I didn't
Yeah,
think that they
neither
would
did
do
I.
that. And that was a nice, pleasant surprise.
Yeah. You know how I feel about go home shows, though. I wanted Shane to go through that table. I was like, Undertaker needs to come out on top on the go home show so Shane can win the match. Now that Shane went out on top on the go home show, I'm like, uh-oh.
See, I
SpaghettiOs.
used to think that, but I think they've got a little less predictable in recent years.
Yeah,
So,
somewhat. They try to swerve us like nobody expected Sheamus to cash in, I guess. Quote
exact.
unquote. You can
Yeah.
go check my Google Plus. I called it.
Well,
Thank you.
I think that
Oh, speaking of which,
oh,
Andy P.
yo.
Undertaker's career's on the line in this match, isn't it?
Well, can I
Or
just
his
say,
WrestleMania career?
I have no idea because it was the most underwhelming announcement ever when they
Yeah.
said, and it was like Vince says, WrestleMania will be his last. And I'm like, his last what? You know?
Yeah, like his last WrestleMania, and then Undertaker's like, this will not be my last WrestleMania. I was like, oh, I get it. I can understand the direction they might go.
Well, do you know, I
Like,
was thinking.
Shane might somehow pull off the win. And Undertaker will respect him at the end of it. They'll respect each other. He'll take over and say, yeah, that's not your last WrestleMania, because that's what Vince said, and I'm not Vince.
That's exactly what I thought. I thought he'll bring him back. If Shane gets
Yeah.
the power, he'll bring Undertaker back.
Oh, yeah. And he's like, look at that. Neither of us are Vince's bitch now.
Exactly. No, that's funny because we're thinking exactly the same thing. I thought that as well. I thought so Undertaker could lose, conceivably, but not end his career because Shane will hire him back.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know that he has to hire him back, because again, it might just be WrestleMania's, and he'll just be like, yeah, well, screw him.
See
He'll
that?
be at next year's WrestleMania against The Rock.
The
Woo!
Rock, man. Jeez-o. Can I just say, this WrestleMania doesn't need The Rock for me.
This one, yeah, I don't feel that way, unless the match starts getting screwy for Roman Reigns. And Brock, I mean, The Rock comes out and helps him, and then Roman just like slaps him. He's like, I don't need your help. I'm tired of
That
this.
would be cool.
Now, that'd be different. If he's just gonna come out and be like, The Rock says, The Rock, blah, 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 segment, I'm like, okay, I don't care. I don't want them to just fill time with him, you know? I want him to have an actual role if he's gonna be there.
Exactly. It's got to. I don't know. We'll see what happens, but I'm not majorly excited about him coming back. Not compared to matches that are on the card that I'm far more interested in. But then, you know, at the end of the day, it's to get the mainstream viewers to tune in. You know, that's what it is. It's like, oh, The Rock's gonna be there. Well, I want to see what
Stone
he's got to
Cold.
say. Yeah, but I mean, I think that The Rock, he is entertaining and stuff. But it just depends how they are on the segment. I mean, let's face it, the last segment he did on Raw was like crap. So yeah, I'm just hoping it's nothing like that, because that was just embarrassing. So, anyway, it was the Easter weekend, and hence the reason that we didn't get a show up, because we're just lazy assholes. Did you?
SmackDown had me pooped, to be honest.
Yeah, I was going to ask, obviously, you went to SmackDown last week. How was that, man? How was the show?
Overall, it was really, like, underwhelming. The crowd just... to me, they were dead. I don't feel like they pump any sounds into the crowd except for maybe, like... maybe the boos for Roman Reigns. That was kind of weird because he was really over.
Really?
Like, Roman Reigns was really over, and then when they were taping Main Event, Big Show was really over.
It's weird.
I didn't understand what was going on.
I think Big Show is actually a little bit more over now since he was on the Stone Cold podcast. That's the weird thing.
I mean, that's why I was joining in on the chants.
Yeah, because now I'm like, hey, I actually really like this guy.
It was honestly, that was one of my favorite moments, because Big Show started acting like a little guy on the apron when they started chanting for him. Like, he was running back and forth between the turnbuckle and the middle of the ropes and, like, chant, like, waving his hands to get them rowdy and stomping on the steps. It was hilarious.
That is funny. And
that was hilarious, but
was Brock at that SmackDown?
Yeah, that was the SmackDown where Dean attacked him with the kendo stick, and then it all went south for him. I mean, after when they went off air, it was kind of cool because Dean Ambrose was just left lying there, and then he was like, "I didn't come here for nothing. Like, I came here for a fight, so somebody in that locker room has to come out here and fight me." And then Strowman and Rowan came out. Strowman and Rowan came out, and then he just kind of cleared the ring of them, and then he thanked us because he loves Boston and the wrestlers love coming to Boston, blah blah blah.
And that was it. So there was no dark match.
No, that was basically our dark match.
All right.
A dark 3-minute segment.
So, but overall, you enjoy it? You think it was a good time had?
I mean, I enjoyed it because I like going to a show regardless, but I like going to a show where the crowd's energy just overtakes me, and I felt like I was more energetic than most of the crowd.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't picking up, and I didn't enjoy that.
Yeah, the rest, if a crowd's bad,
I think it's
because
it wasn't live, you know? They're just more live when they're live. It's funny.
Yeah, if you know, it's kind of just like, it's almost like being a studio audience rather than a audience at a live event type thing.
If there is a lot of smarks at a SmackDown taping, they're gonna think that they're gonna change the chants on us anyway, or freaking turn down our volume or whatever and change the chants. So they're not even gonna really get into it like that.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just there to watch a taping.
Yeah, I think that's. That's probably why, like, TNA struggles to get any sort of momentum, because it's all taped and there's no anticipation and the crowd are just there to watch a taped show, and that's probably why their overall product gets hurt, really, because there's never going to be any surprises, because it's always, the results are always revealed earlier, so it's like, what's the point, you know? So,
it felt cool knowing what was going to happen before it happened, but, I mean, it was nothing of significance.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe if it was an actual go-home SmackDown where they, like, cared, but, I mean, we'd have to get in a time machine and go back a decade or so.
Exactly. Well, probably, yeah, that's unfortunate. But, so did you get up to much over Easter weekend then?
Not really. I just went to my my girlfriend's parents' house and then my parents' house.
Cool. Do you do much for Easter?
Nah. Yeah.
Me neither. Here's a strange one for you, dude. So, what I did, I'm pretty sure I told you I was doing this last week, was went away for a couple of days with a main squeeze to a place that's probably about, you know, it's probably about 3 hours drive from where I stay.
Oh, yeah, you told me. You ended up doing that?
Yeah, yeah. She came with me this time. So, you know, so it was like, we went up there on the Friday, stayed over on the Friday and Saturday night. Mm. And in a lovely little little guest house. I say little, but the room itself was huge, man. It was like
nice.
It had a king, like a extra king size bed or whatever it's called. It was bigger than, you know, a normal king size. I swear to God, you could. It was like two double beds. It was huge, and it had a little room off the side, and it had like sofa and everything, and then the bathroom had this big walk-in shower. It was awesome. It was awesome. And they did breakfast on the Saturday and the Sunday morning, and it was pretty awesome, man. I'm telling you, it was like the best cooked breakfast I've had in my life.
Hey, it sounds awesome, dude. It's really descriptive. I feel like I was there.
Exactly. Well, hey, man. If anyone's listening, they want to go to the Sutherland Guest House in Kenusie, Scotland. I thoroughly recommend it. Give it a 9.8 on TripAdvisor.
Nice.
But what I was going to say was, so obviously Sunday was Easter Sunday. Now, as I say, I'm like you, man. Easter Sunday's never really been a big deal for me. You know, it's just another, in a way, it's just another day. I always got Easter eggs as a kid. You know, that was always cool. Got chocolate eggs, that's fine. But, so I got up in the morning and went downstairs, and Jenny, that's the lady, she says to me, "You didn't wish me happy Easter, by the way." And I was like, "What?" She's like, "You didn't wish me happy Easter." And I'm like, "I don't think I've ever wished someone happy Easter in my entire life."
Yeah.
And she's like, "Well, we say it in my family all the time." And I was like, "What? This is new. It's not like it's Christmas Day." And I was just like, wow. And then she's going around saying happy Easter to everyone. And I'm just like, have I missed something here? Is Easter a bigger deal than I thought it was? So
I don't know if I'm about to turn more heel than I already have.
Oh my God, please.
I'm that way for Christmas, birthday, Valentine's Day, etc. Like, I tell people I love them enough that I just feel so taboo saying those things on like a Hallmark day.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I would say
Merry Christmas. It's just so weird, you know.
I'm very much the same as you, apart from Christmas Day. I'm like, I do love Christmas Day. I'm like Mick Foley when it comes to Christmas. I love Christmas Day. Just because I love the warmth of the day, of being around your family, of being around loved ones and all that. It's just awesome. But birthdays and stuff, I don't really care, to be honest. Valentine's Day, most years I've been single on Valentine's Day, so this year I actually made a change, it was different, it was cool.
Nice.
But, you know, it's like, man, if I have to go in for this every year, I'm going to get pretty, you know, real tired real quick. So that was, but yeah, I just was like, whoa, so Easter's a big deal to her. I'll have to remember that in future. So, but yeah, so we went away, had an awesome weekend, and came back, and I just started to watch the, I finished watching just before we went on this. I watched the Daniel Bryan WWE 24 documentary.
Oh, really?
That was the, it was a look at the 24, basically the retirement day on Raw. So it was like him, it was like sort of backstage footage of him arriving at the building, of other wrestlers talking about it, talking about his retirement, talking about him. I'd recommend you check it out, man, because it's pretty interesting. And
I'm getting shaky just hearing about it. I don't know if I want to watch it.
Well, I'll tell you.
I get all emotional.
Well, see, I was alright for most of it because it's not really that sad until he starts again. You know, it's the bit when he's talking about his dad being in the crowd that time. Again, that kind of got me because it showed you Cody Rhodes. He was watching it backstage, and obviously he lost Dusty last year or whenever it was. So he obviously was sort of welling up crying whilst watching Daniel talk about his dad. So it was that was a bit emosh, you know, that particular moment. But overall, good show. Recommend that you watch it. But it's a shame because at the same time I'm kind of like, you know, what if? You know, it's a big what if with Daniel Bryan. because I just feel like he never quite got a chance to roll with being at the top. And I think he could have done. Something I found really interesting is like one of his best friends is Mark Henry.
Wow.
Because apparently, like when he first came in, Mark Henry was like one of the guys who went, "You've got to go, give him the push, let him go, because he's going to be, you know, a big deal." And they stayed. You know, he was Daniel Bryan was like really taken aback by that. And Mark Henry's been a big supporter, so it showed you a wee bit, you know, footage of those two conversing in the back and stuff. And apparently, he was the last one to talk to him before he went out and did the speech. So he was like getting a big hug from him, and I mean, who wouldn't want a hug from Mark Henry? And he was getting a big hug from him, and then he went out and did a speech. So yeah, man, I'd recommend, like, I'm a total mark when it comes to that sort of stuff. I love to hear other wrestlers talking about other wrestlers, and AJ Styles actually features quite a lot in it, which for me just goes to show the faith they've got in that guy and how much they rate him, because he talks quite a lot in it. And that's mental, because those are two guys that have never, well, in WWE, they've never been in the ring together, and all of a sudden, he, you know, he's getting quite a lot of airtime on it. And I just think it's, I love the way that they've gotten behind AJ. I really do.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to just talking as a person, he's a great guy, so it's easy for him to just talk, like interviews and stuff.
Yeah. He's a total family man.
Yeah.
Apparently loves his computer games, loves his video games.
Yeah. Apparently he likes hip-hop too, so I think he genuinely likes his theme music.
Yeah, yeah. He probably had a say on it. I think that, you know, a lot of guys do. I remember I was reading Chris Jericho's book, and he said that, like, when he was in WCW, they basically just, like, chose sort of generic theme music 17 and just went, play that, and that's Jericho's music. Whereas when he got to WWE, he like spoke to Jim Johnson or whatever his name is, and like went in and sort of was like, "How do you feel about this? This is what we think about your character, blah blah blah." And there was total, you know, consideration into the character and stuff there. And I think that it's those small details that can really go into, you know, putting a guy over. And I think
that's honestly why I never liked WCW. The music,
man. The music was horrendous, and the ring entrances in general were terrible.
Yeah.
They never even. I remember the thing that bugged me was they would get to the ring. They wouldn't get in the ring. They'd get to the ring, and then the music would stop, and the other person's music would start. And I'd be like, part of the ring entrance for me is them getting into the ring. But it would always just be they get to the bottom of the aisle and then the next music would start and I'd be like, what is this?
I know this sounds crazy, but that sounds a lot like this past Monday's six-man tag match.
That's
at the towards the end of Raw,
yeah.
Where they kept interrupting each other. They would get to the end of the ramp and the next person's music would play.
I guess that's fair if you've got so many guys in a match.
And they probably needed advertisement in WCW because they were losing so much freaking money.
Oh, God. It was just...
So they were like, screw it, hurry up, get to the ring.
It was just
weird.
We
gotta go to commercial.
Something that I forgot to say about that Daniel Bryan documentary is if you watch it, John Cena's in it and he's wearing a suit, shirt and tie. And it's just a headshot when he's talking about Daniel Bryan, and he literally looks like Barack Obama in it. I swear to God, it was like.
Is it from Total Divas?
It was from when he was. It was like a actual segment done for that particular show, and it's him just talking about, you know, the effect that Daniel Bryan had on wrestling and stuff. But he honestly looks like Barack Obama. I think it's his ears look rather. Sort of large, and it's just like, wow, he looks really, because his neck looks thin in it, you know. I'm used to seeing John Cena in a t-shirt with his neck that's like wider than his ears, and instead, probably because maybe he's not been allowed to work out as much on certain parts of his body, his neck looks to have shrunk a little, so that makes his face look bigger, and he looks a little bit goofy, you know. His nose looks huge, his ears look huge, and his lips look huge. And then he looked really, it was like the lighting made him look darker, and I was like, I swear to God, he looks a little bit like Barack Obama, like a sort of cartoon version of Barack Obama. And I was just like, that is friggin' hilarious. John Cena, white meat, looks just like Barack Obama. So, I mean, he'd been trying to be black for the past 10 years, so he finally did it. Well done, John.
Oh, that's trying to be black, God. That's Malibu's most wanted right there. Sometimes he has the accent, sometimes he doesn't have the accent. I know. Like, cut that out.
It's big match, John, man. It's just how it is now. I've accepted
it. Oh, did you say big mask, John?
Match.
It sounded like big mask. Yeah, I know.
Big mask.
You got a mask for every freaking city. Before, you just used to wear a different jersey. It's like, oh, look, I'm pandering to you guys. Now he's just like,
no,
big mask, new shirt every week. People, go get yours.
Oh God, only, yeah, of course. I keep forgetting.
Only shirt in the shop, but don't ask any questions.
Well, WWE were probably loving it when he got injured, because now they're like, we can bring him back with a whole new set of merchandise.
Yeah.
So
true. I didn't even think of that.
It's actually worked out as a result. But I'm sure that John will be back soon. And as I said, I think we discussed this last time on the show, is actually, you know, I'm not going to mind seeing him back. He's actually, yeah, you know, when I compare him to
right now?
Well, actually,
what we got right now, of Cesaro's coming back soon.
Cesaro is a good wrestler, but he's never going to main event.
I know.
And that's how I feel about it. Me and one of my buddies, we often quite get into like serious debates about this. He sees Cesaro as a main eventer, and I'm like, look, man, he'll never be a main eventer. He's a great wrestler, brilliant wrestler, yep. But he can't promo. He can't get me. I'm not emotionally involved. Do you know what I mean? I am just not. There's something there. There's a wall there that I cannot get down. But here's something.
Well, I keep hearing rumors that when he comes back, Wade Barrett will be leaving.
Oh.
So he'll take his spot
in League
of Nations.
That could work.
Yeah.
That could work.
I don't
work.
Really care about the League of Nations, though.
I think
it should be viewed more dominant than it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a bunch of guys going around.
Like the social outcasts right now. And that's not fair. There's three world, like, former world champions, no?
Yup.
Wow.
Yeah, it's sad, I think. They could do so much more with that. But then, you know, if Cesaro does go into them, it might actually improve. It may actually improve the situation, but you actually reminded me there of what I wanted to say about Roman Reigns, so I'm gonna just go into something right now. What I've been thinking, cause it was like I was talking about John Cena. Now, for years and years and years, I hated on John Cena big time, hated on him, but I'll give him this. He is a defined character. You know what he stands for. You know who he is. You know what his attitude to any given situation is going to be. Regardless of whether you like it or not, you know
but
what...
he's the only one.
You know what... Well, he's not... It
used
not
to be
him.
Everybody like that. Everybody
but
at the top.
Here's what I'm saying, is you've got him, right? But the new guy who's supposed to be the new him is Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns, I still don't know what he stands for. I still don't know what he's meant to be. Because he came out last week on Raw, that segment at the beginning with him and Steph, when he
well,
put
they've
his...
already tried to take the Kevin Owens route with him, that he has his family and this and that.
But that's not mentioned enough. What I'm saying is, who is he? You know, what are his... Whereas with John Cena, you don't have to know anything about his background. You know who he is as a character. He's
but that
defined.
Should be all the more reason that they turn Roman heel.
Exactly.
You're saying he's mysterious. Well, let him go do bad things and be mysterious in his character.
John, I don't even think he is mysterious, man. I just think he's an asshole. Because he came out, right, and Stephanie McMahon's in the ring on his own, and he puts his hand over the mic, and he's like, shut up, just shut up, and all that. And it's just like, why am I supposed to cheer for that? What makes that a good thing to do? You know, at least if John Cena come out, he'd come out and he'd, like, crack some ridiculous joke or something, you know? He'd do it in a charismatic way. He'd just be like, Steph, you're going on all night long, and that's just about usual for you, or something like that. You can imagine him saying something like that. Whereas You know, whereas Roman Reigns comes out and he's not got anything smart to say. He just comes out and he's just like, shut up, I'm going to go and shave my beard. I'm going to go and put in my blue contact lenses. I'm going to comb my pretty hair. It's like, fuck off.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like the character either, but I just feel bad for the man at this point. Jeez.
I don't, and I'll tell you why I don't.
It's not his fault. The story sucks.
But then you hear
that... And he has to go with it.
Did you not hear what he said once? He said, I'm in the business to make as much money as possible and then get out. Alright? And here's the thing. I'm going to rhyme off a few names for you, okay? Shawn Michaels, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Bret Hitman Hart. You know the difference between them and Roman Reigns is they loved the business before they ever got into it. There's pictures of Stone Cold, there's pictures of Shawn Michaels dressed as Ric Flair when they were like 12 years old because they wanted to be him. And that is why they went to the top of the business, because they were in love with it. They were natural. They had minds for the business. They knew what they wanted to do. Whereas Roman Reigns, I know his dad is like part of it.
And he's grown up around it. Like, that's always the backstory they run to.
Exactly, but I don't get the feeling that he really cared. I don't feel like he cares.
I mean, of course he was more passionate about football.
Do you feel that he cares? I don't feel like he cares.
Definitely not as much as the people you just named.
Not as much as Seth Rollins or Dean Ambrose. Yeah,
Dean Ambrose, Kevin Owens,
or
is
John Cena?
John Cena, yeah.
Because John Cena, as much as people hate him, it's always said he is the hardest worker. He will go in first, he will leave last, and he will do it day in, day out, because his passion for the business and to make it better is, like, so, you know, focused. He will never let anything get in its way, and the only thing that ever stops him from that is injuries, and even then he's like Superman in terms of getting back from them. And I think that's an admirable quality, even if you don't like his particular matches. And it's just like, Roman Reigns, man, I'm sick of him. I'm done. And I really hope Triple H wins at WrestleMania. Really hope that he wins.
I'm glad that you explained him like that, because when I try to explain why diehard fans don't like Roman Reigns to, like, casual fans or just my girlfriend, they just don't understand.
Yeah.
Hardcore fans want somebody that's passionate about this, somebody that's been grinding, been doing this for 10-plus years, or just have loved it.
Yep.
They've always wanted to do it.
That's why AJ Styles is over so much.
Yeah.
That's why people love Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, because they knew that these guys cared, and that they honed their craft, and that they understood the business, and they knew how it worked and how people's minds worked.
AJ Styles left TNA. You know, he didn't go try to act or something. He went back to Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
And then New Japan, and now he's in WWE. Like, that's the love of it.
Exactly. He went the
long way
around.
You really think if Vince McMahon gave up on the Roman Reigns project, he'd try to go to TNA or something to further his wrestling career?
Hell no.
Really?
Hell no. He would be.
He'd be trying to do modeling and shit.
Yeah, he would be on TV. Somehow. He would definitely not.
Sports analyst or something.
it's the coach along with Roman Reigns on ESPN tonight, Maggle.
If he'd even be able to use that name, he'd have to be Joey Ananui or whatever his name is.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, you know. I like how the coach is doing his WWE thing on ESPN.
That segment with the coach.
It's really cool how the coach is like, you know, he's a professional. He's a professional sportscaster, and, you know, he's got himself on obviously a major channel, but, you know.
And even he still has love for it.
Exactly.
He's always loved it.
I remember I hated him for a long time, but then when he turned heel, I actually quite liked him. He was a heel commentator for a while, and when he used to get his ass kicked and stuff in the ring, there was just something. He was great at being goofy, you know. He was obviously willing to completely, you know, take the piss out of himself and just have a laugh. And that's what I love about certain guys.
Obviously, in like 2003, 2004, 2005, I was like 11, 12. Like, I genuinely hated heels. So for me to stop watching and then come back, like, I genuinely loved those guys that I used to hate because they were so good at their job.
Yep.
Now, like you said, I can look at anybody on the roster and there's no definitive qualities about them that I can retain and take over to next week's show, never mind next month's show.
Exactly. The only guys who are like that are guys who are a bit older and have come from the outside. So AJ Styles and Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens, I would say, have that quality. But I think guys who have maybe just come straight from NXT or things like that, they'll struggle to define who they are.
Yeah.
I don't really know who Neville is.
Mojo Rawley, like, who is that? What is his character?
Exactly. It's just a loud man. A loud, annoying man.
Yeah. Who acts like... I love Jordan and Gable, but what is their character?
Yeah. Yeah. They are,
hot tag? Is that what their character is? Just a hot tag?
Well,
that's
all they
what they're
going
to play on for every single match? That's not going to work
the
main show.
They're just the new Team Angle, just the new greatest ever tag team.
Yeah.
But none of them are as good as Shelton Benjamin.
I wish he would come back.
That would be cool, but the problem with Shelton is he couldn't talk. I don't know if you watched it when they brought in like a character playing his mama. Did you watch it then?
I don't think so.
I think in order to get him over, they brought in someone who was like his mother, playing his mother. And it was just horrible.
Maybe. It might have just been so bad, I don't remember.
Yeah, it was, because she was just like your stereotypical black woman mother character.
I think I might remember that. Like backstage segments, right?
I'm pretty sure they employed Eddie Murphy to be his mum. that was pretty cringe. But yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. It's just like I'm worried for the character development of certain guys, whether they will be able to get themselves over, because all the guys, you know, and Triple H is like, oh, last year every match but one had an NXT guy in it, and it's like, well, a lot of these NXT guys were only NXT for a couple of months. They actually got all their experience outside. So
exactly.
If Shinsuke Nakamura comes in, right, and he's in NXT for 6 months, and then comes up to WWE, has a great career, they're going to be like, oh, that's because he was in NXT, and it's like, no, it's not. It's because he was awesome before that. He went to NXT. It's the same with Austin Aries, and now it looks like Bobby Roode and Eric Young are going to be coming. What do you think of that?
That'd be cool. I mean, I think, Bobby Roode's like 38?
37,
38. Yeah, so now's a better time than ever.
Do you think... I think, I mean, I don't know about you, man, but for me, and I've spoken to this, like my best mate Ben, I've told him a million times, he's big time been in wrestling as well, the only reason that I would watch TNA on a regular basis was Bobby Roode and Austin Aries, and I always said to him, James Storm as well, to be fair, I used to say those guys, I would love to see them in WWE. So to see Bobby Roode and Austin Aries is obviously already there, to have them two, God, put them together in a tag team like they were in TNA. Boom.
Yeah.
You know.
That's a great reason to sign them.
Exactly. Put them in a tag team, get them to win the tag team titles in NXT, and then just shoot them up to the main roster. Because those are guys know how to handle it. Those guys, especially Bobby Roode, he, for me, was always a class act. He always looked the main event. He always looked every inch the top man and could handle himself in any company.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, you know me. I don't watch TNA like that.
Yeah.
I know wrestlers, though, obviously. I don't watch Ring of Honor, but I know Jay Lethal.
Yeah.
You know. Certain wrestlers I just know, and I've seen some of their matches, like...
Well, I mean, I recommend that if you get a chance, you go and watch some Bobby Roode stuff. Very reminiscent of Triple H at his peak.
Wow.
For me, I always thought. James Storm, always been a fan, and was gutted when he actually only flirted with the idea of going to NXT. And obviously he ended up staying with TNA. But I think that I'm not a major fan of Eric Young. But then again, you know, it's all just, it depends how the cards fall. You know, we could see Bobby Roode in the main event of WrestleMania next year. You never know.
Yeah.
But they could really...
Or the main event of NXT TakeOver next year, because speaking of cards, I think NXT is going to have a better special.
Than what?
Than what? Than WrestleMania. You know.
Wow. That's...
Oh, yeah. You love me for that, don't you? You love me for that. I heard a tone, like a slight tone of, ugh.
No, it was more... It was more shock, to be honest. I don't know about that, man, but I think that'll be strong. But for me, I think the Sami Zayn match will probably be the best. So what do you? Yeah. So obviously we talk outside of here, and you had a few things to say. Then that brings us nicely to Finn Balor, who will be defending the title against Samoa Joe. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is it Samoa Joe?
Yeah.
That match is obviously going to be the main event, but yeah, I mean, you've got a few things that you want to say about Finn Balor. Go ahead, because I want to hear them. I'm interested.
First off, I'd like to see him retain the belt.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not for the same reasons as other people. Mm-hmm. I want to see him retain the belt so he can stay in NXT. I don't think he'll be... with casual fans, like, he's not going to be over on the main show.
Yeah.
He's 195 pounds, like, he weighs 40 more pounds than me. He's the same height as me. Just the average guy. Like, I don't like his in-ring work. I don't...
You think he's too vanilla?
Yeah, not necessarily. I just think he kind of bores me in the ring. I do like a slower pace. I'm not one of those people that like that fast-paced plancha over the top, high spots matches, but it's not the same work as like a Triple H. It really bores me, in a sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd like to see Finn Balor go over so they can continue the Samoa Joe Balor thing and keep Joe down at NXT for a little while. I'm really more excited about the Women's Championship match between Bayley and Asuka.
Yeah, that will be awesome. That will be an awesome match.
How do you
match.
Feel about Finn Balor and Samoa?
I've never been... I like Samoa Joe. Never really been a Finn Balor fan. I'm pretty much the same as you in the fact that, for me, he's just a bit too ordinary. He's not got that star quality about him. I think he's a great wrestler, but just not for me. His mic work and stuff is average. I don't really... I think that he sort of went over... well in NXT, because the NXT fans appreciate, you know, these indie wrestlers, but I think you can almost be too indie, if that makes sense. So you can be a great wrestler and stuff, but you only appeal to indie fans.
Yeah, it's like I know he had a following with the Prince Devitt thing and all that, but I wouldn't have been part of that following.
No.
Like, yeah, I'm a diehard fan now, but I still have like that casual spirit in me, you know.
Yeah.
I just got back here, guys. Don't screw it up.
Yeah. No, I'm
the
same.
I still invest money into it.
I think...
I can have an opinion, you know? I've already spent, what, 6 months worth of... or 8 months worth of the network. I've gone to a pay-per-view show for $120 and a SmackDown taping for $70.
Exactly.
I can say these things. I wouldn't pay money... to see Finn Balor wrestle on the main show. Like, what? Maybe when he's dressed as the demon, that intrigues me, but then the work is the same in the ring. I don't really care.
I think it would have to be the demon every week.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't have enough characters like that as it is. You want to do that, that'd be cool with me.
Yeah, because right now he's just like some guy who just comes out with a leather jacket on, and that's it. You know?
Yeah.
Black trunks.
Finn McCool.
Yeah.
Yippee.
Exactly.
Technical.
And that for me just it's not intriguing enough.
It's cool for NXT when the same 800 fans are gonna go watch.
Yeah, exactly. Because you build up a loyal following and that's fine. Yeah. But you're not gonna sell. He's not gonna sell arenas out all over the country.
No.
You know, because there's, he's not got, at the end of the day, you've got to have a gimmick, in my opinion, you know, even if it's just a very light gimmick, you've still got to have one, you know, even if you are just pretty much yourself, you can still have a gimmick. You know, like, where you look at someone like Shawn Michaels, his gimmick was Sexy Boy, HBK, you know, and he didn't really...
Yeah, the showstopper, like, he's going to put on an amazing show.
That was probably
the wrong... No matter where he is on the card.
That was probably the wrong person to come out with, because I've just come out with, like, one of the best of all time.
Wow.
There's no point in comparing him to Finn Balor or Finn Balor
to him.
I became
a mark of his over the past year.
Yeah? Have you gone back and watched
him? I didn't like him when I was younger.
Nor did I. Nor did I. I didn't like him until I was about... So I started watching him when I was 11, and I didn't really start liking him until I was, like... when did he come back? 2002, so I was probably about 18 to 20 before I started to appreciate him. And then when he came back, I was like, I'm ready for this guy. Went back and watched his earlier stuff and was like, yeah, this guy was awesome, and I didn't appreciate it at the time. And it's only now when you look back, you realise, man, in terms of in-ring, it's probably the best ever. Because not just moves, but the way you could sell a match, the way you could make a match emotional, drama, just create constantly.
See, you're talking about this, and I just feel the same way about Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins.
Like, people talk about how the ratings were going down with Seth Rollins and this and that, but the same thing was happening in the 90s with Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
But they kept the belt on him.
You can't blame Seth
Rollins.
You know, it
was just business. That's what was happening at the time.
Exactly. It's the overall product. It's not just a one guy thing that you can blame it on. Because what I would say now is, overall, the product is probably stronger, but the main event scene is weaker, if that makes sense. So I'm talking about compared to, like, this time maybe last year. I thought that the undercard was kind of a bit stale, whereas now it's awesome. But the main event itself, with Roman Reigns, I'm just like, I don't really have any interest in that. So that, what are you going to do? Are you going to turn around and say, oh, the company's amazing now and it's Roman Reigns who's done that? No, you're not. So you can't turn around and say, oh, the company's doing rubbish, so it's Seth Rollins' fault. You can't say that. So, you know, I'm with you, man. I think Seth Rollins, I can't wait for him to come back. I think it's, whatever he does, it's going to be awesome. Because at the end of the day, he is one of those guys that even if you tried to not put him in the main event, he would end up making his match the main event anyway on the card. You know, you'd see the Seth Rollins match and then you'd be like, well, I don't really care what happens after this. Because the guy...
I would probably feel that way.
You know, he's awesome. He really is. And I think he proved, you know, for me, he reached the next level when he fought John Cena last year and beat him for the US title. That was when, you know, when he first came out with a white...
For me, like, tights. He earned my respect in that triple threat.
At the
Royal
Rumble
last year.
Yeah, awesome.
I thought he put on a great performance, just taking a whooping.
Yep, he is definitely one, you know, who could have a Hall of Fame career without a shadow of a doubt. I just hope that he doesn't get injured again. You know, I hope this isn't a sign of things to come, because, I mean, so many guys, I don't know what the hell's going on.
So, this card's a little shorter, but tell me you don't feel a little more excited about it, you know? Shinsuke Nakamura versus Sami Zayn in the undercard.
What, more excited than that for Mania?
Austin Aries versus Baron Corbin.
Yep.
The Revival versus American Alpha.
Mm-hmm.
Bayley versus Asuka. And Finn Balor versus Samoa Joe.
Don't get me wrong, I'm looking forward to it, but not more than WrestleMania, and I'll tell you why. Because I don't just watch WrestleMania for the particular matches, I watch WrestleMania for the event. I watch WrestleMania for...
That's true.
The Golden Rent.
That's true. This is just a special.
Yeah, I watch it for the entrances. I watch it for the music. I watch it for the whole looking at the size of the stadium. I watch it for the set. You know, I watch it for everything. So, you know, the matches are, there's some weak matches, but there's enough strong matches there to go into.
I mean, there's a lot of matches on the WrestleMania card.
Exactly. And what we're going to do, John, is tomorrow we're going to talk about them. And we're going to go in-depth.
Awesome.
And we're going to have a WrestleMania special for all the listeners. So if you've listened today, Because I think, you know, normally we normally go about an hour on this bad boy, but I think since we're recording one tomorrow, we'll call it a day right now. You okay with that, John? 45 minutes seems reasonable.
That's awesome.
So we'll call it a day just now. You'll notice, guys, that we haven't really went in too much into WrestleMania chat. That's really just so we can watch it, so that we can talk about it tomorrow, and talk about the matches, and just talk about our overall plans for WrestleMania weekend and what we're looking forward to most. And I'm hyped for it. John, I know you're hyped for it, man. It's WrestleMania. It's your first WrestleMania since coming back. So
in a long time.
Exactly.
Feels like the Super Bowl.
It is. It's the Super Bowl of professional wrestling, man. So
yeah, I'm having a party, so come by, Andy.
I will jump on a plane. I'll be there in
3,000 miles.
9 hours. I was
all right.
just a quick hop, skip, and a jump. But yeah. So we'll see you tomorrow for that, guys. Hope that you tune in. As usual, if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow me at @angryandroid83, and you can follow John at @johnshoesmusic. And we'll see you there. But we're going to call it a day now, because if we're giving you like an hour and a half, 2 hours of content, you know, we don't want you getting sick of the sound of our voices. So we'll speak to you tomorrow or whenever you choose to listen to us. We love you guys, and we love your support, and we will speak to you soon. Say goodbye, John.
Peace.
Peace out. Love you. Bye.